Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. Coming up later this hour, former U.S. Attorney General Michael Mukasey. He wants to defend the NYPD in its recent lone wolf terrorism arrest. FBI officials have suggested that the suspect may have been incompetent and entrapped by the NYPD. Michael Mukasey, former U.S. Attorney General, will say, We will also preview tonight's final debate before the Iowa caucuses. And we will, by the way, have at 8 o'clock tonight a simultaneous live chat that I and others will be in. And you can join us as the final debate airs on television on the Fox News Channel. Forgive me, 9 o'clock tonight. We'll do our live chat during the debate at itsafreecountry.org, our politics website. And we'll preview the debate this hour by asking one of the questions that came up on Saturday night around Newt Gingrich, and that is, does cheating on your wife make you more likely to cheat the public? So that's coming up later this hour. But right now, as Congress tries to finish its business and get home for the holidays, Medicare is in the middle of the tussle. Unless Congress acts, the fees that doctors receive from Medicare would be cut by 27%. Now, that's a, quote, crisis that seems to come up annually and then get dispensed with. Also, some news today. Democrat Ron Wyden and Republican Paul Ryan just announced a new plan to, quote, save Medicare. Health journalist Trudy Lieberman, contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review, is following these and other Medicare stories, and she joins me now. Welcome back, Trudy.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And Medicare, so we all know, is the health plan for seniors. Medicaid is for low-income Americans. This is health care for the elderly, Medicare. And earlier this week, New Jersey Republican Congressman Scott Garrett was on this show, and we took a call from Andrew in Westchester, who turned out to be a doctor, concerned about the Medicare cuts that might be made to his reimbursements. So what about that?
Well, this goes back a long, long way. It goes back to the late 1990s when Congress decided that it was going to cut the fees to doctors under the Medicare program. The schedule of fee cuts has really never taken effect as Congress planned way back then, because the doctors have always come forward in their trade associations and professional groups to try to stop those cuts. And they've been fairly effective at stopping those cuts. So what's happened is that Congress does a quick fix every year, every 2 years, and then we have to revisit the whole issue again. And now it's time to revisit the issue because the 2 years are up.
And what's in the law, as I understand it, is called sustainable growth rate, or SGR. In 1997, the Balanced Budget Act was passed, and Congress put a process in place to cut growth. This was when Newt Gingrich was Speaker. They put in a formula for scheduling cuts every year, but then, as you say, doctors through the AMA get those cuts rescinded. So Andrew, our caller from the other day, disputed the notion that this SGR, sustainable growth rate, reversal is just about greedy doctors. Listen.
It's perceived, I think, by a lot of people in the public that it's an issue of the rich doctors wanting to get their money, and it's not that at all. I think most of us really are solidly in the middle class, and it's a job creation issue. Not having an answer to the SGR year after year makes it very, very difficult for us to plan economically about hiring people and bringing new employees into our practice.
So our doctor caller from the other day, and Trudy, how do we look at that? Is that one, just his, you know, pro-MD spin, or I could see people caught on the horns of a dilemma in this. We tend to think that, oh, doctors make so much money. On the other hand, we see doctors in fairly large numbers, I think, walking away from Medicare, and we see doctors getting squeezed by the insurance companies all the time, the private insurance companies. So what do you think is the right and wrong of this?
I think those are some valid concerns, and I think we need to separate which kinds of doctors are making a lot of money and other kinds of doctors are not making as much money. So what we have is sort of a skewed income distribution in terms of what doctors are making. The very high-priced specialists, the anesthesiologists, the ophthalmologists, cardiologists, the heart surgeons, and so forth, are doing quite well. One can argue that the primary care doctors are doing less well and that we as a country need more resources going into primary care.
That's part of Obama health reform, isn't it? To beef up reimbursement rates to primary care physicians and limit them some to others?
That's the hope. It's a question of whether or not the increased reimbursements will actually be enough to encourage more doctors to go into primary care, and I think we really have to wait and see what's going to happen there. So in the meantime, we have our perennial fight going on between Congress and the doctors and their trade associations about how much the increase is going to be. And then this gets to the heart of the larger question, how is America really going to control its health care costs?
In response to the doctor who called in, Congressman Garrett said doctors could start dropping Medicare patients if this isn't fixed. Has that actually been happening?
We've heard that for years. Some doctors do not take Medicare patients. Some in New York City don't, for various reasons, reimbursement probably being the biggest one. However, I think we have yet to see a mass exodus of doctors from the Medicare program across the country because Medicare is a very important source of revenue to most doctors.
Because so many of their patients are elderly who disproportionately need to use medical care, and Medicare is the primary payer, and the people covered by Medicare will still shop around.
Well, that's right. And I think that most people on Medicare don't have a lot of loose money hanging around that they can choose and pick where they want to get health care. And so they need this. They need the program and they need their doctors. And I think that they will keep searching until they do find a doctor that does treat them under Medicare.
Listeners, we can't take calls from more of you who are doctors and some of you who are Medicaid patients, 212-433-WNYC. Are you following the current debate? What problem with Medicare and how it's funded is not getting enough attention? 212-433-WNYC. Any more doctors want to call in and put some very specific meat on these bones? How much is this reimbursed? What do you get reimbursed for what? And does it make you consider walking away from Medicare? What if it was cut 27%, as apparently is in this SRG law from 1997 that they now want to tweak or need to tweak every year to keep the reimbursements up. 212-433-9692 for healthcare journalist Trudy Lieberman. Trudy, can I jump to this new bipartisan proposal that's just being announced today from Democratic Senator Ron Wyden, pretty liberal Democrat who's long been involved in health care issues and leans toward bipartisanship on these things, and Republican Congressman Paul Ryan, who, you know, was named one of the runners-up for Time Magazine Person of the Year yesterday, specifically because he's been so partisan, and including on Medicare, as chairman of the Budget Committee.
Well, what's going on here with the combination of Ryan and Wyden getting together here is the what I like to call the final assault on the drive to privatize Medicare, which has been going on really for the last two decades. There have always been enemies of Medicare. Many conservative interests have opposed Medicare for a variety of reasons. And there have been things that have happened to the program along the way that has really hastened this breaking up of the social insurance risk pool. I think it's very important to step back here and think about what Medicare was and still is for the most part and how it was set up. It was set up as social insurance. Everybody paid into the system, and everyone who paid in has a right to a benefit. Everybody paid in paid the same premium for Part B. Everybody got Part B services, and those were doctor and lab services. And the benefits were uniform. That began to crack apart when managed care came into the picture of Medicare in the late 1990s. It accelerated with Medicare Advantage plans, which I know we've talked about in the past, and with the prescription drug benefit in 2003, which gave the whole benefit over to the private insurance companies to run instead of Medicare.
So Wyden and Ryan would move Medicare toward a voucher system?
Yes. And I think it's important to remember one thing, that what this will do in the end is ration care according to the ability to pay. Right now, under the Medicare system, everybody gets the benefit. You can argue whether the benefit should be more, whether it should be improved, because there is a school of thought that says that should happen. But with a voucher system, people would get a set amount of money to go into the private market and buy a policy to supplement whatever and to pay for whatever services they wanted. If the voucher was insufficient, they would have to dig into their own pockets to come up with the rest. So just imagine somebody in their late 70s and 80s when health problems really become very important and medical services are become a necessity. People are going to have to find the money to pay for this at a time when their income has declined.
But somebody has to do something so that Medicare's books get balanced, because this is really the beast that's threatening the federal budget, right, as well as a lot of state and local budgets. And so you're saying better to have the government do it through whatever cuts are deemed to be the most humane, rather than placing the burdens on individuals because of these situations that you described that are very common when people get very old and need very expensive Medicare, just as medical care, just as they're running out of money.
I think that this is a very ideological question, and there are people on both sides of the ideological divide here, whether or not you want the government with its resources to control costs if it wants to. There are many experts who believe that the Medicare program can control costs, probably better than the private sector if it wants to, and if it was insulated from the pressures that doctors and device makers, drug companies, and other special interest groups exert, which makes their task very difficult.
David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, David.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that I'm over 65. I'm on Medicare. Over the past few years, I've had two physicians drop out of the system, send me letters saying that they were no longer participating, and this is what it would cost me if I needed to see them, both specialists, both very skilled people who said they're competing against newly minted, in one case, ophthalmologists in Georgia, who they've got people coming from all over the world to see them. It's a stealth execution of the Medicare program that people under 65 don't realize is going on. They hear that Medicare is still there, but they don't understand that doctors are little by little dropping out.
David, thank you for that warning and that troubling call. Or should we not be too concerned by that, Trudy, because maybe a few elite doctors with big reputations who can afford to get out of insurance altogether because they're still going to have enough wealthy clients shouldn't be seen as the whole profession?
I think that we don't really know the answer to that. We've seen that in New York City over the last several years, where a lot of the so-called Park Avenue doctors have dropped out of the system, the high-priced specialists. But I think when you look at a place like, say, Lincoln, Nebraska, for example, I think most of the doctors there or in places like that are still in the system. And so I don't think we know exactly how this is going to play out yet.
Rachel in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Rachel.
Good morning, Brian. I'm a clinical nurse specialist in adult psychiatry, and I make home visits and get reimbursed directly from Medicare for disabled people as well as the elderly, because the Medicare covers disabled people. Mm-hmm. And my reimbursement has gone down 16% in the last 11 years. So there's certainly no motivation for people to go into my field. Since the reimbursement is down 16%. It's pretty unbelievable. Many of my clients are losing their doctors because their doctors are pulling out of the Medicare system. And they, as I said, they are elderly and or disabled people who have difficulty traveling around the city, finding other doctors. Their stress level is gigantic because many of their doctors have said come January they may be pulling out. Now, whether their doctors pull out or not is we don't know, but certainly the stress level on all these people is gigantic.
Right. And do you think that you as a nurse are not being as protected by Congress as the doctors are?
Well, I'm getting the same, cutbacks as the doctors.
The same cutbacks as the doctors.
I mean, I believe the same cutbacks, and I'm threatened with a 27% decrease come January.
Right. Thank you. So if Rachel's numbers are accurate, then all doctors have seen a 16% drop in reimbursement over the last 11 years?
Oh, I don't think it's all doctors with the same reimbursement, because the rates vary by geographic area. And so I think what we're talking about here are some real issues that the caller raised in terms of reimbursement cuts. Medicare has tried to control its costs, and it has done that by cutting reimbursements for various services. You can argue whether that's what should happen, but I think it's also important to look at Medicare in the context of the larger healthcare system and what's going on in the private sector and what the potential is for cost shifting going on between these different sectors. And I might point out that other countries don't have that problem, because they have unified systems and everybody is in the same system. So some of the things that we're seeing result from our unique system.
And it sounds like, if, again, Rachel is reporting accurately, that there's a lot of fear out there now because doctors, for political reasons, might be posting signs in their offices or having conversations with their patients, warning them that, hey, I might have to pull out of Medicare at the end of the year if they really pass this 27% reimbursement cut in Congress, and whether that's an empty threat because they know it's going to get reversed or not, people are getting scared.
I think they're getting scared, but I think they also need to look at how this increase, and it will happen to some extent, how is that going to be paid for? And one of the proposals right now is to make wealthier beneficiaries pay more. And the definition of wealthier beneficiaries is sliding down the income scale. So I would just caution people to be aware of the opposite reaction that can happen in these situations.
And by the way, it's not just on Park Avenue. I just got word that the mother of one of our staff members, the mother lives in Kansas, just lost one of her doctors because the doctor pulled out of Medicare. Iris in Manhattan, you too?
Hi.
Hi, Iris. Turn off your radio.
It's off.
Hey there.
I am a psychologist in New York City on the Upper East Side.
Uh-huh.
I was a Medicare provider for 35 years. They started me at $98 a session. Now, 35 years later, they're back to $98 a session. But they're threatening to make it 80% of 65. I had to opt out because I just can't afford to see patients at that rate. So what I'm doing is I'm just telling my patients, pay me what you can, and I'm just not going through Medicare.
First of all, and what's the answer, in your opinion?
I don't know what the answer is, but I think that New York City is a special case. I cannot find any physician for my Medicare patients. I can't find a psychopharmacologist who will see them. I mean, this is New York City, and everybody is opting out.
They're also opting out of private insurance as well in New York. There's been a lot of people who are unable to use insurance from Aetna, Cigna, or some of the other private insurance carriers. And so this seems to be an issue in New York, but most people in other places are still getting services. And now it may be that in some specialties like psychology, psychiatry, and some of those specialties, the problem is more acute.
Iris, thank you. And the House bill that would keep the doctor reimbursements reasonably high would finance this fix by charging higher premiums to more seniors. Basically, 25% of seniors would pay more for Medicare, if I'm reading the numbers right. Why isn't this seen as a tax hike on the old?
Well, because a lot of people don't really know about it. There's been means testing going on in the Medicare program now for a few years. And it really hasn't been until the last year that people are aware that they are paying more for Part D, which is the drug benefit, and Part B.
Is that who would get that 25% of seniors who would get that hike? upper income?
Yes. But one thing to remember, there is no indexing, or there wasn't, in the bill. And I don't know what they've got in there right now, but the intent of Congress was to definitely move the income scale down so more and more wealthier seniors would have to pay the increased premiums.
All right. The so-called doc fix in the budget bills going through Congress right now will get through, it looks like, in some way to try to keep more doctors from doing what a couple of our callers have talked about, dropping out of Medicare as providers, and the higher income 25% will start paying more. That's probably the way it's going to work for the moment. And, of course, the large Medicare reform questions are still on the table, and we will follow up on this bipartisan proposal from Democrat Ron Wyden and Republican Paul Ryan in Congress today. Trudy Lieberman, who writes about health care and health care coverage for the Columbia Journalism Review, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Former U.S. Attorney General Michael Mukasey, next.